This morning, we're going to have the teaching of the Word, and then our student ministries department will come back into the auditorium, and we will have worship together and also receive communion today. So we're glad that you're here. And this is the 29th day of our 40-day fast, and you can still get in on that if you haven't gotten in on that. We're fasting and praying for 40 days. And there is a sign-up sheet out in front of the Hebrews Cafe if you would like to commit to a day to pray and fast. And if you're, several of you are doing something every day during the 40 days, and God bless you. And we are fasting, which means to abstain from food for spiritual reasons. Last week we taught on the benefits of fasting. And today I'd like to talk about prayer and fasting, because prayer has been a distinguishing practice of Christians in all ages, and no real believer can live without it. Martin Luther said, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Prayer is our communication with God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we get ready to go over the word of the Lord. Father, thank you for opening the eyes of our heart today as we sit in your presence together. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Teach us how to pray. Thank you, Lord. We sense your presence this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I read a story about three preachers that were sitting and discussing the best positions for prayer while there was a telephone repairman who was working nearby. And one of the first pastors said, "Kneeling is definitely the best place." And then the next one said, "No, I would contend that. I get the best results when I'm praying with my hands stretched out in the air to heaven." And then the third one, he said, "Well, you're both wrong. Because the most effective prayer position is lying prostrate, face down on the floor." And the repairman couldn't contain himself any longer. And he said, "Hey, fellas, the best praying I ever did was hanging upside down from a telephone pole." Most of us feel insufficient to pray. Have you felt that way? "I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. I'm not sure if I'm praying right." Anybody feel that way? There's a scripture in Romans 8:26, and this isn't in your outline. You might want to write it down. But in Romans 8:26, and this is the Amplified Version, if you've got your Bibles, turn there this morning. It'd be good if we bring our Bibles to church. Amen? The scripture says, "So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness." What's our weakness? We do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. So you see, you're not alone for feeling like, "I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray." And sometimes that doubt keeps us from praying to God, from communicating with Him. But the scripture goes on in Romans 8:26 and says, "But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance." So the Holy Spirit knows what we need to pray. The Holy Spirit knows how to pray. The Holy Spirit will pray through us as we come to the Lord. We want to communicate with God. But we're all weak in that. But when we're weak, God sends us the help that we need. And the help that we need is the Holy Spirit in our lives. So would you agree that we need help from the Holy Spirit when we pray? Would you tell someone close to you, I need help from the Holy Spirit when I pray? I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit in my life. Amen. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. He's our encourager. He is the Spirit of God sent to us in the earth. When Jesus went away, he said, I will send the comforter to you. But I have to go away for him to come. And so the Holy Spirit is with us. Ask God to make you aware of his presence in your life. And God will. Because the Holy Spirit is working in us. He's renewing our minds. He's restoring our soul. He's teaching us every day. So ask God to open the eyes of your heart to be aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. We're going to go to Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21. Except by prayer and fasting. And this is Jesus, a story of Jesus in Matthew 17. And the scripture says, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And so we're going to talk about this a little bit. Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation. Jesus was speaking to the people at that moment. He wasn't speaking to his disciples. And probably especially the scribes who are mentioned in Mark 9:14. If you read the story in Mark 9:14, they were insulted over the disciples because they had healed a person that was too hard for them. Perverse means to distort, to misinterpret, or morally corrupt, to turn away, and it's actually word twisting. We usually think of perverse in it as something that is immoral, but it's more than that. It's to distort, to misinterpret, morally corrupt, to turn away, word twisting. You see that at work in our culture, don't you? And we don't want that at work in our hearts, in our minds, as we study the Word of God. And then faithlessness keeps us from receiving the blessings of God that he intended for us to have. So faith is compliance with God. Unbelief is opposition and contradictory to God. So Jesus identified them as faithless and perverse. And then he says, how long shall I be with you? Kind of reminds me, how long am I going to have to put up with all of you? Or how long shall I bear with you? How many times do I have to reteach this to you? Have you ever felt that way about one of your children? How long is it going to take for you to get this? Do you ever think God feels like that about us? How long is it going to take for you to get this? We're trying, right? We need the eyes of our understanding opened. We need the Holy Spirit's help. Amen? And then Jesus said, bring the child to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So Jesus broke the power of Satan off of that child's life. And then the disciples came to Jesus and privately said, "Why couldn't we cast out this demon?" And so in private, Jesus charged his disciples with unbelief. He said, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So both sides were weak in faith. Because often people will blame the minister. Nothing's happening. So-and-so isn't getting healed. So it's all the pastor's fault or the minister's fault. And then ministers blame their congregations. They blame the people. Well, they didn't have enough expectation. They didn't have enough faith. But you can see in this passage that Jesus is saying, hey, both of you are at fault here. Both of you are struggling with unbelief and having faith in what I said I would do. So rather than blaming someone else, we need to take a look at our own lives and judge ourselves. So we judge ourselves and not other people. It's because of our unbelief that we don't see the power of God moving in our lives. Jesus gives a teaching on the power of faith that encourages his disciples to continue to pray and fast for miracles. And he was making a point. It's just the size of a mustard seed. This is just this much real faith in me. Can move mountains. And nothing is impossible for you when you have faith in the love and power of God. God's love for us is more powerful than what we realize. God loves us with an everlasting love. God is love. And when we begin to get a revelation of who God is and who God has called us to be in the earth and the work that he's called us to do, we can stand in faith for one another. Sometimes you're going through something that is so difficult, it's hard for you to have faith for yourself. It's hard for you to even imagine that mountain moving in your life. Has anyone ever been there? It's hard to even imagine it. God, I want to have that faith, but I'm not seeing anything happening. And that's how God connects the body of Christ together. So we stand in faith together, believing the impossible for one another. And when someone is weak and cannot pray for themselves and have faith for their healing, you can do that. That's what our prayer and fasting has been all about. Wednesday night at prayer, we had testimony after testimony of the goodness of God and what God has been doing in our lives during this time. God is on the move. By faith. Through prayer and fasting. Through believing and holding on for one another. Holding on to God for one another when it feels like you're too weak to hold on any longer. That's what we do at River of Life. That's who God has called us to be. It's to be willing to stand in the gap and love others unconditionally like he loves them and pray for them. Pray for them, for those mountains to move in their life. But these things only happen through prayer and fasting. This young boy needed deliverance of a demonic spirit. And the Lord said, through prayer and fasting, it releases my power. So fasting quiets our soul, our flesh, so that we can receive spiritual revelation. Our faith is in Jesus Christ and his power and authority. And he gave to us the power to work miracles in his name, to pray in the name of Jesus. He said, whatever you pray in my name, in faith believing, you will have it. The key is getting with God and knowing what the will of God is. If you haven't been with God, then you don't know what his will is. And there are so many distractions that pull us away from hearing God's voice. And most of it is ourselves, because we are our biggest distraction. We like to blame everybody else. But in reality, what goes on inside of our head, we are responsible for, and it can be a huge distraction. Amen?
Amen.
All right. It can be a huge distraction. But God gave us authority. But we need revelation. And we receive that revelation when we quiet ourselves before the Lord. When we quiet our souls with prayer and fasting. You know, Jesus commissioned his disciples, and he also commissioned us. We are to have faith in the mighty name of Jesus Christ to heal, to deliver, and to set the captive free, to set us free from sin, sickness, and disease. He has come, he said, to heal the brokenhearted and set the captive free. So the power of God is with us. He is here. His presence is here. And with faith just the size of a mustard seed, in Jesus Christ and the revelation of what he has called this church to do and to be in the earth, together we believe God for healing and restoration and deliverance from any demonic spirit that would be oppressing anyone that comes into our midst. Because the presence of God is here. People's hearts are healed. God's healing hearts right now. He's renewing your mind right now. Because the transforming power of God is here. Together we form a spiritual habitation for God to dwell in. And he sets up his throne in our midst. And the king rules from his throne. Amen. God loves us so much, and we should love each other so much, that we will not stop praying and fasting until God's will is accomplished in our lives. Can somebody give the Lord a shout of praise? Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, he sends some difficult cases to River of Life. Tell him you might be one of them. But we have faith that God is able. Amen. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that works in us. There's a power that's working inside of us, church. We might feel tired this morning. Our minds are probably trying to wander because that's what minds do. But there is still a power working inside of us. In the midst of all of our mistakes and failures, God is still at work in us. Hallelujah. So let's go on. We're going to go to Mark 6:1-6. God is at the mercy of our unbelief. Let's talk about this. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went out about the villages in a circuit teaching." So people did not have a hunger for God to perform miracles. They were looking at who Jesus was in the natural rather than believing the power of God that was working in him. And Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. He had done miracles everywhere, but he gets to this place among his own relatives and they were offended with him. But that didn't stop him. He went on and he continued to teach. And he continued to heal people. So there was not a hunger. When we were praying last week, the Lord brought the scripture to me, "Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled." There was not a hunger for the presence of God. And there are so many things that have dulled our appetite for spiritual growth. God moving is based upon supply and demand. Just like when you run a business, it's based on supply and demand. You might have an awesome product and be one of the best salesmen, but if there's no demand for what you're trying to sell or the product you have, your business is going under. So what is the demand that we put on the anointing? How much are we interceding and crying out for God to move on our brothers and sisters' behalf and to move in our city and especially in our nation? We are the church. We are the legislating government authority in the spirit realm. And what we legislate as the church is what happens upon the earth. It's important that we understand our position in this season because God is a God of order and he is bringing order into the church and he is bringing order into our cities and our country. And that spirit of rebellion is rising up and there are people refusing to cooperate. But that's okay. God is still God. God is still sovereign. And God will still have his way. But I believe that what has happened is the devil can't stop God from being God. So he has taken away the appetite, our appetites, for spiritual growth, for spiritual food. And replaced it with junk food. Isn't that what we do in the natural? Yeah. How many of you just push away that healthy stuff and reach for the junk food? You don't want to wave your hand, do you? It's the truth anyhow. But that's what the devil has done to us. He's taken our appetite away for righteousness. There are many things that can take away your appetite. And in the natural, if you're in a lot of pain, often you don't have much of an appetite. Or if you're not feeling well, if you're sick, you just don't want to eat. So there is pain in the natural that takes away our appetite. And there is pain in our soul that can take away our appetite for God. We can be disappointed about how a situation turned out, or how another Christian treated us, or judged us, or criticized us, or looked down at us, condemned us. That causes pain in our soul. When we're misunderstood by other people, and they form a judgment about us that isn't even true. Has that ever happened to you? Yes. It's happened to me plenty of times. Yes. Yes. And that causes pain in our heart, in our soul. And the pain can get so great that all we think about is our pain and how sad we are and how that person did us wrong. That it keeps us from receiving the love of God for us. God's thoughts for us did not change because of the way that person treated us. God's thoughts for us didn't change because all of a sudden that person decided, well, I don't want to be friends with you. I'm not going to talk to you anymore in the office. Office stuff is just nasty. It can get really, really tough in the office. But God's thoughts for you haven't changed. God's plans for you haven't changed. God's love for you has not changed, even though that person's attitude changed. So God wants us to come out of the gloom and doom that we feel in our heart and reach up to Him. You know, people will always disappoint you at some level. They will let you down. I'll disappoint you, you'll disappoint me. That is a part of life. The part that God asks us to do is to love one another and grow in those disappointing times in relationship with Him and in relationship with one another. Because when we're hungry, when we thirst for righteousness, God will fill us. And I'm going to end right there because that is enough for you to chew on this week, I think. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling me. Did you ever take a bite of food where you put too much food in your mouth? Well, if I just keep teaching this morning, that's what's going to happen. You're just going to have too much food in your mouth, in your soul. And your soul needs to process what Jesus is saying to us this morning. First of all, He wants us to pray. He wants us to fast. And He wants us to hunger for Him to move in our lives. So God wants to remove the doubt and unbelief, and especially the what ifs from your heart. You ever get the what ifs in your mind? You can spend hours thinking about the what ifs and have this whole scenario playing out in your head, and it just goes on and on and on. It's quite a story by the time you're done. God's working on that in us. He wants us just to have faith in Him. Believe that He loves us. Believe that His word is true. And believe that His word performs what it is sent out to do. Now, sometimes the outcome isn't always what we think it should be. Ever have that happen to you? It just didn't turn out the way I thought it would. But if we have prayed in faith, believing, then we trust God that that was His will. And we have to adjust because God's not going to. He's constantly working on our souls and adjusting us as we conform to His will for our lives. We think we have it all figured out. Have you ever thought you had it all figured out? And you even played it over and over in your mind? And you even dreamt about it, you know, because it's just right there and you dream about the whole thing. And then that's not what God does. But God is still God. God's love for us didn't change. We just didn't have the clarity. But you know what? Most of the time we find out what God decided is the best thing. If He would have done what we thought He should have did, you're smiling, right? He knows what's best for me. He knows what's best for you. And so we believe together that the great I Am is working in our lives. Is working in this place. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your word that's gone forward today. I thank You, Lord, that every person here takes this word and just begins to digest it. Lord, that You heal our souls, heal our minds, and remove doubt and unbelief from our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning.